2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. That's a lot easier. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. Will you join me in prayer? Father, the grace you give us overflows every day. The grace that comes from your Son, Father, is a mystery. The forgiveness that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ in this world just does not make sense. But Father, we say thank you. Lord, you bless each and every one of us. This first day of the week, the first hour we wake up, the first breath we take when we're born, Father, everything comes from you. And so, Lord, we understand that your provision is not from man, but from you. But more importantly, Father, you have a plan for that. So, Lord, this morning as we come in here and maybe we're having a hard time paying a bill, the rent bill, the car payment, the electric, the food. Maybe it's medications. Each of us, Father, have been given the blessings of provision from you. And Father, sometimes it becomes hard for us. But we're to recognize that it's from you. And that you have a plan for that and for our lives. So, Father, as we come in here today, we come in here to worship you. Not only in song and in prayer and reading of your word, but we also worship you, Father, with the gifts which you've already given us. So, Father, help us to understand today how you would guide us in that management of the provisions that you give us. Whether it's money or time or talent, just our lives. And so, Father, we want to be the cheerful giver to you. Show us today, Father, from your word, and that you would be glorified. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you all, and it is good again to be here. This morning, I want us to see there are three solutions that God wants us to see here for giving. Three solutions for giving. The first solution I want us to see, and I want you to write this down, and if you don't have a pen, you'll probably find one right there in a pew rack in front of you, and you should have a space, I believe, on your bulletin. God's solution for giving is for everyone. I'll repeat that. God's solution for giving is for everyone. Point number one. And the text there says that whoever sows. The word whoever we often enjoy in God's grace when, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever. So whoever sows is a time and a place in our world today where if we could be financially secure, if we had everything we could take care of, we would be in a better place in our lives to give. Whether it's first to our ties to the local church or to other ministries or individuals that are needing help. Whoever is for everyone, the young, the old, the rich, the retired, the working, the students. Even the children, we're to understand in this text here is that whoever sows is for everyone. And so Paul is speaking to the Corinthians here, and actually he was bragging to earlier in chapter 8, He was bragging to the Corinthians about the Macedonians and that they eagerly begged to give out of their poverty. And then later in chapter 9, God brags to the Macedonians about the Corinthians. The Corinthians have promised a generous gift. Paul is on a mission for the church in Jerusalem. They're starving. They're hungry. And Paul is on a famine collection mission. And so he wants them to understand the joy of giving, that if they sow well, they'll reap well. What does sow mean? And you look at the text there. In fact, when I asked Carl to put up the sign, I actually spelled it wrong. I said S-E-W, and I called him back the next day. I said, I forgot, it's S-O-W. Because I really did, first, I forgot about sow means it's differently. We think sow of is a sowing, but sow here in the text, the Greek word literally means to like scatter, to just, to throw out everything as in seed. It's almost as if a metaphor for a farmer who sows. Whoever sows sparingly, the text sparingly means, for lack of a better word, stingily. Whoever scatters seed, whoever gives like you want to hold on and don't want to give up, reaps, what does the text say? Sparingly. Whoever sows sparingly, whoever wants to hold on. And that's the problem today. That's what we're in this world. And we come into the influence of the world, and what we need to come into is a biblical worldview and what God says about giving and His desire for us and a plan for us. You know, you watch TV at night, and oftentimes I see in the news, I don't know why, but it's just so many car commercials and nice cars. And I'm not against having a nice car. If you have a nice car, that's great. But I think what happens is that the world is trying to extend oftentimes beyond our means. And what happens is that we see something and we have a picture of somebody, but, you know, kind of like those beer ads, and oftentimes you see everyone's happy. You never see them the next day. Well, someone has a car and they can't make the car payment, and you see the truck pulling it away. You don't see that in the commercials either, do you? We don't. My point is that we need a biblical worldview of what God says about giving and managing our finances in our life. And so here he says in the text, whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Whoever will bless will also be blessed. But what happens is that we live in this world that we just... You know, if we only had more, if you ask a very wealthy person how much is enough, you know what they'll say? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And then I'll be wealthy. You know, when I was a young man and I got to a point where if I could just make a little bit more, then I'll have it. You know, then I'll be able to get. And then when I got to that point where I made just a little bit more, and then what happened was like, well, if I just made a little bit more, and that's what happens. We get into this vicious cycle as if thinking that just a little bit more is really what's going to bring us happiness. And so the text says, whoever sows bountifully, whoever scatters seed, whoever scatters his givings, whoever gives generously will reap generously. We also are exposed to what's often called a prosperity gospel. And so my reluctance to put the sermon title of Sow Well, Reap Well is because oftentimes there are preachers out there that will tell you, if you just give more, God will bless you. And so here in the texts, what does it say? Well, it says if you give, you'll reap well. But the intention to give well, to reap well, is not just for you. It is the opportunity that God gives us to bless others for His kingdom. You know, when I look around in Macedonia, 83 years, and there's going to be a homecoming November 8th here. Praise the Lord. 83 years, Macedonia Baptist Church. Think about it. For 83 years, people have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and will enjoy eternity in heaven. For 83 years, people have been baptized because of Macedonia Baptist Church and what God is doing through His people. For 83 years, people have been discipled and growing in their faith in Christ. For 83 years, they've been ministered in the hard times as well as the good times. And for 83 years, God has not left His hand, the Macedonia Baptist Church, because the church here has understood that if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. That's not just for us. It's for God's kingdom. God has a desire for each of us, for His kingdom and for His purpose. But what happens is, as I said earlier, is that we try to think of, well, we just don't have enough. God just wants us to come to Him and to give what we have. And so what happens is we don't think we have enough. Let me tell you a story about a little girl. Her name was Hattie Mae Wyatt. In the 1880s, Hattie Mae Wyatt went to a church in Philadelphia, little church, and there wasn't enough room in Sunday school, so she sat outside and she cried because there just wasn't enough room. Well, the pastor of that church, Pastor Conwell, picked up Hattie Mae on his shoulders and took her into the Sunday school anyway. But Hattie Mae was convinced that she wasn't going to stop there. So little girl, little Hattie Mae, decided to start saving pennies. Just pennies? For what? For a new Sunday school. What are pennies going to do for a Sunday school? Hattie Mae became sick and she died. But before she passed away, she had saved 57 pennies. And so her parents took the purse of the 57 pennies and they gave it to Pastor Conwell. Pastor Conwell then decided that they were going to have an auction, and they auctioned off those 57 pennies for $250. God took those 57 pennies and multiplied it as a down payment for a Sunday school building. And do you know that Sunday school building became a classroom of what is now today Temple University? 80,000 graduates have gone through the halls of Temple University. Why? From 57 pennies. And that's what happens a lot of times when we say, well, this is all I have to bring. God can take that and He can make the increase. If He can take a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people, He could take 57 pennies too. And that's what He wants us to understand, that whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each and every one of us. You know, when you think of bounty, sometimes you think about agriculture, produce. You ever see cornfields? Anyone ever drive through a cornfield? You know, if you drive out west, you'll see cornfields right off the interstate for miles. Every cornfield, every successful cornfield also needs seed. And for every successful 1 acre of seed, you can get 150 bushels of corn. But it takes about 30,000 seeds to produce that. But it's all small seeds. All together. And so that's what God wants us to see. That is the who. The solution for giving is for everyone. Whether you're the little girl, or you're the senior, or you're working, or whoever. God's solution for giving is for everyone. But we come under what happens is the world. And we become under the influence of the world. And Paul said in his letter to the Romans, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God and good and perfect." Romans 12:2. So each of us must understand that for all of us is that what's happening in God's kingdom oftentimes starts with the little things, but it starts with all of us. The who, the whoever, is everyone. Point number two this morning, God's solution for giving must come from the heart. And this is the where giving comes from. God's solution for giving must come from the heart. Look at the text there in verse 7. The scripture says, each one must give as he has decided. Beloved, let me ask you today, have you decided? Have you made a decision in your heart? Because God gives us that decision. In fact, the text even says, not reluctantly or under compulsion. The worst thing, what happens when someone tells you what you have to do? If I stand here before you and say, this is what you have to do, how are you going to react to that? Where's your heart? The reality is that in giving, in the cheerful giver, is that it has to come from our heart. Why? Because that is authentic. God wants our authentic worship as much as He wants our authentic giving, but it must come from the heart. God gives each and every one of us that opportunity. There's a little girl in Sunday school, another little girl, and they had a contest for scripture memorization. And so she won, and the prize was $2 little. And so she told the pastor's wife that morning that she put her $2 little into the offering plate, and she gave it all to God. And the pastor's wife said, wow, I'm sure God must be very pleased with you. To which she said, yes, now I can do what I want to do. You see, God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to give under compulsion, and He doesn't want us to give reluctantly. But He does want us to give from our heart. But He gives each and every one of us the opportunity, the free will to decide. Each and every one of us must decide today from your heart where you'll give. Point number three today, God's solution for giving is provided because He gives. Listen, write this down. God's solution for giving is provided. God's solution for giving is provided because He gives. We've heard from the Apostle Paul, the who, whoever, the where, must come from the heart. And now we read and understand the when, how, and why. Look at verse 8. And God is able. Well, I know He's able. The scripture wants us to recognize if we realize that. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. It is God's plan for provision that all grace come to you. The provision that we often think about is that, you know, my provision is a paycheck. My provision is my bank account. My provision is my retirement account. My provision is my Social Security check. No, it's not. No, it's not. That is just the mechanism that God chooses to provide for us. But God's the provider. And what happens is we're not to be to worship the created, but the creator, because He is our great provider. And so God's solution for giving is provided because He gives. God gives. And the text says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Look at this text in verse 9. I want us to see something here. All grace, all sufficiency, all things, all times. All grace is the why. All sufficiency is the how. All things is the what. And all times is the when. So why? Why is God's perfect? What is His purpose? Many of you remember a few weeks ago we took up a second offering for Inglewood Baptist Church. Some of you may not know, Inglewood Baptist Church has suffered a lot of vandalism and a lot of damage over the past several months. And so we as a church wanted to bless them by scattering, by sowing, to help them, very much so as what happens here in this passage. What we must see is that we are a New Testament church. Do you recognize that? This is from the pastor there, Billy Jones at Inglewood Baptist, and he said, "Your generosity is overwhelming. The love offering will go a long way in helping us fix the damage done to our church. May God continue to use your church in a mighty way." Amen. And that is the plan that God has for us. That is the why. It's not just a matter of doing something nice. There's a lot of great organizations doing a lot of things. And the why is not because we're compelled or forced to do anything, but we're a part of God's kingdom. That is what we're doing here. And in fact, look at the text also here in chapter 9, verse 10 through 12. And the scripture says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." That's a whole lot going on there, brothers and sisters. From little tiny seeds to building a university to helping a struggling small church on another part of town to saving the saints who were starving in Jerusalem. And in verse 11, look what also God speaks to us. He said, "You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." And this is the second and the third verse here in verse 12, which I truly enjoy. "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." When we give to God, we share thanksgiving with God. We share back the blessings that He is blessing us with. All He's doing is giving us stewardship on what He has provided for us for His kingdom. That's His plan. The Corinthian church actually Corinth in this time in first century is actually, it's a very wealthy city. We don't know exactly the economic status of this particular church in Corinth, but I can tell you Corinth was a very wealthy city. It was a trade city. Corinth was conquered by the Romans in the 2nd century B.C. And then for about 100 years it became a ghost town. And then the emperor of Rome decided he was going to resurrect Corinth and make it a major trading center and trading route. And ships could go through Corinth instead of sailing around southern Greece and save time and save money. And so trade was coming in and they were very prosperous. They were a very rich city. But sometimes what happens, and even for the Corinthians and for like even some of us today, it becomes almost as if the more we have, it seems like the harder it is to let go. But the more we let go, the more we receive the blessings from God. That's what He wants us to see here. God's solution for giving is provided because He gives. He has already given it to us because of all grace. He gives it because we have all sufficiency in Christ, the how, in all things, the what, and at all times, the when. Each of us must understand. And that's the report that Paul gave us, this apostolic reporter, about being a cheerful giver, about sowing well and reaping well. Paul's provision understood that, Paul's report on this is that provision is from God. We give as a result of the condition of our heart, not our pocketbook. It's the condition of our heart. His blessings are part of His purpose for His kingdom and His glory. There's a father who took his son to a fast food restaurant one day, and his father gave his son some money. And his son went to the counter and ordered and came back, and the father brought the tray of food and sat it down in front of his son, and I had a whole plate of French fries. What happens sometimes when you're sitting down at a table and you reach across somebody else's French fries? You know what I mean? Something about French fries. I don't know what it is. It's like, don't eat my French fries. And this little boy, when his father reached over to get some French fries, says, Dad, shoot his hand away. Don't eat my French fries. And his father stood up, very dramatic fashion, and he said, Son, the father said, I gave you the money for those French fries. I drove you in my car so you could get those French fries. I bought those French fries. I brought you to the restaurant to get those French fries. And if I want to, I will bury you in those French fries. God doesn't want to bury us in French fries. But God provides blessings for all of us. And He wants us to share it to others for His kingdom and for His purpose and for His glory. There's a text in the Old Testament in Malachi, and we're told in the Bible not to test God. But there is actually one text in the Bible where God allows us to test Him, and it is Malachi 3:10. And the scripture reads, Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. That is the only place, and I have searched the scriptures, and test occurs about 56 times in the English Standard Version of the Bible. I don't know which version that you're reading, but it's probably close to that. The only place where God says, test me. Go ahead, test me. And see if I will not pour out the blessings upon you and bury you in French fries, if that's what you want. So each of us today must understand is that our provision is not from a paycheck. It's not from a bank account. It's not from things that we all gather or depend upon, but from God. God wants our hearts, even the small things. He wants us, our time, our talent, and the blessings that He has given each and every one of us. Some of you received a handout from Dr. Hackett on giving, the 7 keys to open-handed living. And in that part, there are 7 keys, and some of you may have read that or noticed that. The 7 keys are, submit yourself and all you have to the Lord, number 1. Number 2, study the scriptures on finances and generosity. Number 3, see what God has provided in your life. Number 4, set aside resources to give. Number 5, systematically give, even if it's 57 pennies. Number 6, spontaneously give as the Lord leads you. Number 7, simplify your life to be even more generous. And see if God will now pour out the blessings upon you. Will you join me in prayer?